You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
They would drive in reverse to the rink, swoop around the building, and drive backwards back home.
Tell me he had like his head out the window like Ace Ventura.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press, and James Duthie is joining us in studio. What's happening, JD?
He just grabbed my doll and said, is that the Valanciunas company? We're not doing that.
Sorry.
Y'all good over there or what?
I don't have your funky headphones, so. No, I just, what is this thing? This is terrible radio, I know, but what is this?
It's just a doll of me.
But it's like uncannily good.
Very good, isn't it?
Yeah, like usually those bobbleheads are terrible. They don't look remotely like anybody, but this is, like, it's even kind of captured your persona. The hand on the hips, kind of.
It's got like a
when am I getting
attitude.
The hell out of here? Do we actually have to do another hit? Do I have to do the quiz tonight?
What time did you get back here last Friday?
I took a flight. I was back around noon, 1 p.m.
Did you come into work?
I had to do. I did some radio. I did a little show called The Brian Hayes Show. I forgot the name of your show.
I know.
Overdrive.
I could tell. You were reaching for it. You're like, I'm going to just go down this road.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Duthie called in. It was a great hit.
Yeah, I think I was probably harder on you than they were. Weren't I compared the odds of you being in that day to Latvia winning the World Juniors.
That's right. That's precisely what you said.
Yeah.
So he was hard on you, man. I was trying to back you up a little bit, but...
Oh, really?
Duthie had, you know, he had very, very
it was
critical
cutting.
Things to say.
It was cutting.
Yeah. So
it's hard, harsh radio.
Anyway, speaking of Montreal, I want to play this clip.
Okay.
Pierre Maguire. You've known Pierre for a long time. You know what clip we're about to play.
Yeah.
Because
apparently
can't get enough
it is all we have on TSN today.
It is the biggest story going. This will be on That's Hockey. It'll be on SportsCenter tonight.
It is. I have to leave this radio hit thing to go down and do a hit on it from SportsCenter. What have we become that our entire network is generated by something that somebody says in a morning radio hit where I've done enough of these hits where I say 10 things in each one of them where afterwards I go, that probably wasn't right, but I said it anyway.
Content is king, Duthie.
Yeah.
We're always searching for content.
And fake news.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly what this is.
I think Trump would say
you're
to Pierre Maguire,
you're fake news.
You are fake news.
That's exactly what
he'd say. And he'd be right.
He might be. But if you strap Austin Matthews, a list featuring Crosby, McDavid, the best players, the Maple Leafs on it, fact that it's in Montreal, conversation with Mitch Melnick, I think it means that much more, and hence why we're buzzing
play it
about
again?
It. We haven't played it. We've been teasing it for an hour.
So you're going to play it now?
We're going to play it right now. This is what happened, courtesy of TSN Radio in Montreal. I believe it was yesterday afternoon.
Who's the best player in the league through 41 games not named Sidney Crosby?
You won't like what I have to say.
I always like what you have to say, especially when you invite me out to L.A.
Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews is the best player in the league? Not...
I think Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid are battling it out for 2 and 3. You might not like me saying that, but I'm telling you, this guy, every game, he does something that gets me out of my seat.
So there you have it. Pierre Maguire, esteemed hockey analyst, affiliated with this network for a long, long time, believes once you get past Sidney Crosby, Austin Matthews was the best player.
Austin Matthews battling it out with Connor McDavid for 2-3.
Right.
Can you disagree with it?
I can. I would put McDavid too.
Yeah,
for sure. I would not put Matthews ahead of McDavid.
I would have before Matthews, Malkin, the way he's played this year, Brent Burns. Tarasenko's a funny one because points wise, what does Matthews have points wise?
35.
Okay, so Tarasenko's got 8 points on him and a few goals, but you could argue that Matthews is better all around player. I don't know, but I'd put too many more.
See,
it's not the most like crazy outlandish. Like, Pierre's onto something there, but I think he's probably like 6 or 7 or something.
It's just we think of him as a 19-year-old, so we say 19-year-olds can't be the best or near the best.
Right.
Like, McDavid's the exception, but I think his age, like, if he was 22 and he was on pace for 45 goals, mm-hmm. we'd be like, he's one of the best players in the league.
I also think that the same thing that happens in Toronto with us overvaluing players is that when someone really good comes along,
yeah.
that we're hesitant to say, which people the rest of the country say, you're nuts. You guys build up, TSN gets accused of building up Austin Matthews to ridiculous proportions. But I actually think people are, they're it's more the timid to say, yeah. well, we can't have the best player in the league or someone who's the second or third best player in the league. So I don't think it's a ludicrous notion by Pierre, but I'd have a few more guys ahead of him.
I think I would too, but I think, Jonas, you're onto something. Because he's a rookie, we're not allowed to have, like, that's a heart conversation they're having. If you're saying the guy's the second best player in the league, he's up for the heart. That's what he's saying.
It's not crazy.
It's not, because on this team, he is clearly their MVP.
If he scores 40 goals and the Leafs get in the playoffs,
that is an MVP candidate.
He'll be up there.
If I had to do heart today.
Yeah, but you just did it right there. You'd be like, he'd be up there.
He'd be up there. No, but what I said, you asked me, would I say he's jockeying with McDavid? No, I wouldn't. I would have Crosby 1, McDavid 2. I think he might be in the conversation for 3. The problem is, if you include goaltenders, like, Dubnyk's got to come up.
I put Burns as my third heart candidate right now.
I think I'd put Burns too.
I think.
I mean, Jonas? He's on pace for like 86 points.
As yeah. Jeff Brent knows, Burns. I didn't even vote him for the Norris at the midseason, so don't ask me.
Yeah, Drew Doughty.
Yeah. It's not the most points by a defenseman, is it, the award?
Well, I just think he's been the best defenseman. I think he should have got a little bit more credit last year, but this year, by far and away, he's been the best defenseman.
He's been really good.
So there you
but,
have
but,
it.
But I think James has nailed it on the head. Toronto is now having like this weird sort of anti-backlash that we can't make too much of this because Toronto has a history of making too much for this. Like, I was astounded after that.
We're not talking about Nick Antropov here.
No, but that's what happened. Like, when he scored 2 goals in the Centennial Classic, it was like Toronto's like, okay, just move on. I'm just like, this guy's on pace for 45 goals. That
I think that's
happen.
Always been around, though. I've always contended, specifically with the national media, and there's a lot of national media that lives in this city that works for this company and works for the other company, but they're insiders or analysts that talk about the whole league. I think a lot of times there might be a bit of a fear that because you're in Toronto, you're going to attach yourself to the Maple Leafs. So as a result, you compensate for that. And you go as far away from Toronto as possible.
I think that's 100% accurate.
Right, and you mock. Oh, the
but
Leafs,
you won't
come
be
on.
You won't be able to do that anymore with this guy.
No, you can't.
And the thing is, if McDavid was in the conversation, we had it at the beginning of the year when we do that top 50 players list. Is I think McDavid was second behind Crosby on the list, and that's 1 year into the league. Then why can't you have it with Matthews?
Right.
The world has changed where you're going to get guys who are top 3-4 players in the league. In their second year, there's no. Jonas is right. You can't be biased because he's a rookie. But I still don't think he's third, and I don't think he's in the. I don't think he's right there with McDavid. I think I'd have him 6th or 7th, which is
still
unbelievable
for
a rookie.
Absolutely, isn't it?
I mean, about probably where I would have had McDavid's season was so harsh last year because of the injury. It was so hard to judge. But the way he played down the stretch was probably second to Crosby in the league. Probably,
well,
I think,
would,
for a 20 or 30 game span there.
Where would you have Laine? Would you have him close to the top 10?
Probably not.
I just think Matthews does more things.
More.
Yeah. That Laine would probably be, I don't know, I'd have to look at it. So,
is Laine
he'd
even,
be like somewhere in the top 15 probably.
I'm not even
of the
sure he's their MVP.
Shifley.
I think
Shifley's a better player than Laine all around.
Ehlers
yeah,
has been
sure.
pretty good too.
Yeah. But you can't deny whatever goals he's scoring. But I think Matthews just does so much more, and that's why it's an interesting conversation anyway.
Who did you have as coach of the year?
Sullivan.
Dude.
I initially had Tortorella, and then I changed my mind.
Was that out of personal vengeance?
Totally.
John Tortorella's the coach of the year thus far. Like, hands down, slam dunk.
Okay, so what's your case? Tell me it. That they have the most points and they have the most wins?
Yeah, and I thought he was going to get fired before the season started.
But so what does that have to do with it?
He's also got less talent. I mean, let's be honest. Columbus has a lot less talent than Pittsburgh.
Sure, but what are two things he has? A goalie who is out of his mind right now mm-hmm. and a crazy good power play, which he deserves credit for. And like a lot of guys are having career years, he deserves credit. But Sullivan, I mean, teams have Stanley Cup hangovers. They've missed a lot of guys to injury.
It's an interesting case. Listen, I can't deny that I would have Sullivan.
Why does Joel Quenneville get overlooked so much?
Agreed. He was like the guy I went into it thinking he might be it, but I don't know.
You know what my favorite part of that Pierre clip is? Is
the laugh?
He has a little giggle after he says it, which I don't know if you guys can isolate that, but that actual moment, he's so gleeful in saying that in the Montreal audience that's my favorite part of it.
Well, I like that Melnick didn't overreact because I think Mitch knows that he's not putting it on. It's not
a
hot
take. Play
it
again?
What, the whole clip? Yeah. You want to play the whole thing?
Not that long.
Okay, let's play it one more time. It's played 15,000 times already today on the station. I thought I was holding off with restraint by not playing it in the 4 p.m. hour. But let's go ahead. This is McGuire on with Mitch Melnick on TSN Radio in Montreal yesterday.
Who's the best player in the league through 41 games not named Sidney Crosby?
You won't like what I have to say.
I always like what you have to say, especially when you invite me out to L.A.
Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews is the best player in the league? Not...
I think Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid are battling it out for 2 and 3. You may not like me saying that, but I'm telling you, this guy, every game, he does something that gets me out of my seat.
Well, that last part is...
He's bang on.
He's bang on about that. Yep. I mean, and this isn't bias, and I've seen every shift he's played in the NHL, but every single game he plays... He does something where I'm like, wow.
And you know, here's the other thing about Pierre saying it is that Pierre spends most of his time watching other teams, right? Pierre is on the NBC circuit, which is constantly Pittsburgh, Detroit, Rangers, Philadelphia, all the time. So, yeah, I think it's time to embrace the fact that you have one of the best, probably five players in the world playing in the city, and what's he going to be like in a year and a half?
Well, Joe texting in, and this is a good question to ask, and I'm not sure I'd be the right guy to answer because I haven't seen McDavid play enough this year. I've seen him a lot, but not enough. Again, like I said, I've seen Matthews play pretty much every shift. But he said he doesn't think McDavid is comparable to Matthews defensively right now. And I think I might agree with that. I mean, Matthews has really improved even over the course of 39 games defensively. I think he's getting better and better. I don't think of McDavid as a stalwart, you know, defensively. That said, he's got the puck so much. That is one great way to defend. But if you're talking about a complete player, like McDavid is so fast, so flashy, so skilled, he's put up these incredible numbers. It's easy to simply look at that. But if you're looking at a complete player and a complete picture here, you have to include the 200-foot game.
As far as these awards, though, like I like people stepping outside the box. I mean, Chris Pronger, no matter what he did, Nick Lidstrom and Scott Niedermayer, it was just throw them in the hat for they're the Norris guys. It was like every year. And there was other guys that were just being ignored. It was like Mike Pekka sometimes. He was just such a great defensive player. No matter what year he was thrown in there for the Selke. I mean, one of our own people wrote that Kopitar is in the running for the Selke. He's having a horrible year.
The Selke, though, I think...
I don't care, man. You can't have four goals.
I was going to agree with you. I'm saying, of all the awards, I think the Selke does that more than anybody else. They have those four or five guys, and they just chuck them in every
year. It's a reputation. Yeah.
How about Datsyuk? He was nominated for the...
Lady Bing.
Lady Bing. Like
award is...
But that's
to me, the Lady Bing is almost like a runner-up to the Hart Trophy. It's like you had an unbelievable year. You're a great player. You didn't take a whole lot of penalties.
It's basically the guy who's highest in points... with the fewest amount of penalty minutes.
It's like a plan B for the Hart Trophy.
Right.
You had an unbelievable year, but you're not in that category, but you didn't take a lot of penalties, so we'll give you a Lady
Bing. I don't think anyone wants to win the Lady
Bing. Yeah, agreed.
I really don't. I don't think Marty St. Louis was nominated every year.
No, like guys that don't win the Hart, like I think it meant something to them, guys like St. Louis.
But isn't it for like gentlemanly players?
Yeah, but I think that Jeff's right. It's an unwritten rule that these guys know that basically it's like the consolation prize. Like I was the fourth best player in the league, but I got six penalty minutes, so I'm getting this. That's what it should be, the Lady Bing, the fourth best player in the league.
Really? See, I've never thought about it that way.
I've always thought it was the penalty minutes, though.
That's what I thought it was.
So what, like if Jamie Benn can't ever win the Lady Bing?
Let's see.
There was a year that somebody went down to the end of the year. I don't know if it was Datsyuk, and he had zero penalty minutes right till like the second or third last game, and somebody else had like two penalty minutes.
You know who might win it this year? Austin Matthews.
What has he got?
He's only got like... 16 penalty minutes or less than that.
Yeah. Does he have that many?
He didn't have one for the first like 20 games, I think.
But you know what? With the Bing, they probably give it to some vet like who
Lady Bing.
Well, guess who won it last year? Do you know?
Bergeron? No. Taves?
Kopitar.
Kopitar?
Yeah.
16 PIMs.
But he is actually, like, but I wish there was, I'm sure there's some rep that goes with it. Like, Kopitar is known as a guy that everybody in the league respects. You don't trash talk. Datsyuk was the same way. So I guess there's a little bit of the gentlemanly thing to it, but.
But to disprove your point, the year before, Yuri Hudler.
Won the Lady Bing?
He did.
Wow. Everywhere I go, people think that guy's just soft, soft.
Huh? He had 14 penalty minutes.
There you have it.
Interesting.
All right, buddy. Well, you're on the Sens.
Sens tonight, so that means nothing to this audience, unless you have the package from the company that I can't name that you want to watch the Sens. Got Leafs tomorrow, though. They're back after their 18-week.
How do you feel about the bye week quickly?
I don't mind. I think if players don't mind it, I get why GMs and coaches get frustrated by it. But I think if you're going to go into bye weeks, then you got to have a bigger conversation about how many games they're playing and when they hand out the cup. And there should be a 70-game schedule, and the cup's handed out before it turns to June. And I don't know. I have no problem with it.
I have no problem with it if your favorite team is a good team, like I said earlier. If you're the Colorado Avalanche and you go on a bye week, just leave for the rest of the year.
Right.
Like, don't even come back.
I think Mitch Marner looks like he's having fun in the Cayman Islands or whatever. So
they seem to be.
Guys, it's a long season. I think those guys deserve it.
All right, buddy.
O-Dog on a bye week, though. That would see, that's a sketch right there. That could be my next sketch. If bye weeks existed during O-Dog's time.
Or the panel on a bye.
5 days.
James, I used to go on Olympic breaks for 10 days and do nothing. And I came back and I felt the best of my career. Didn't do a thing.
Didn't do anything?
Nothing.
Going out?
No, like Cancun. I was in Cancun.
Yeah, okay, that's what I meant.
I mean, as far as exercise.
No, I'm fully aware that you wouldn't have done anything. But
he's talking about being a professional athlete, yeah. Like nothing.
I'm talking the reality show that you are. That's what I'm more interested in.
No.
See, that would have been good.
All right. Pitch it to the higher-ups.
Hang on a sec. We're going to do a trivia show.
Okay.
We've thought of the name Puck versus Schmuck. Me and Jonas, do you have any clever names?
No, I like that. I mean, I got to think about these things. It's got to happen organically.
What about something with your doll?
Who's the schmuck?
Him. I'm the puck.
Puck versus schmuck.
You can't beat that.
Yeah. I'll work on something.
All right.
I'll email you.
That's coming up at
6 O versus schmo.
O versus schmo.
I already said, like, pro versus schmo.
Oh. All right.
But it's a trivia game, and Jonas is the pro trivia guy, so consider that.
Yeah, you're going to lose on everything.
It's happening at 6 p.m.
I'll tune in.
Make sure you tune in. All right, there's James Duthie. Pens versus Sens on TSN 5 tonight. Barry Trotz in about 15 minutes. We'll ask him, the head coach, about the bye week and Ovechkin hitting 1,000 points last night.
And him passing Pat Quinn.
And him passing Pat Quinn for most wins all time.
That's a lot, man. I never thought of Barry Trotz as one of those guys.
Me neither. I'm kind of surprised by that. Quinn was around forever.
You forget how long he was in Nashville, though.
Like 15 years or
forever.
Something.
Yeah.
But they never were.
That makes
like
it
a
more
cup
incredible
team.
To me that, like, starting an expansion team and getting that amount of wins.
Right.
That's unreal.
Never made it to a cup final, conference final. So, like, they're always a good team, but they were never a great team. It's not like you thought of them as racking up 50 wins in a season.
How do you think Noodles will like Steph at the O desk coming up? Like, in the future, do you think he'll like it?
No.
No?
Just because, no, I would say. I can't wait for him to hear the McGuire clip on Matthews being the second best.
He's going
to
go crazy.
He's going to go crazy. Because, and this is the thing, I'm glad McGuire said it, not me. Because if I said it, Noodles would spontaneously combust and then quit the show. He would be on fire. He'd be up in flames in that chair and then just say, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. See you later. But it's Pierre McGuire.
Like, if we keep on the Matthews for the heart, he'll go crazy. He'll quit.
Well, listen, Jonas, you've kind of written about it, and if he is the clear-cut MVP on one of the surprise teams in the league that could get into the playoffs, take the name out of it, the age out of it. That's a guy you would consider to be top five, top seven in the Hart conversation,
isn't it?
Absolutely, it is.
If you have one of the best rookie seasons in the history of the league for a team that's pretty good,
your team's got to get in, though. They have to get in.
Absolutely.
Like, that's why, obviously, Sid's a lock. If the Oilers get in, McDavid, I think, will be a lock. And then it'll get interesting from there. Who's going to be three? Could it be Burns, Dubnyk, potentially, with the numbers he's putting up? Maybe Price, depending on what he does in the second half. Tarasenko, potentially. You know, there's six, seven, eight guys, but he would be in that running right now. And just being able to commit to that idea is pretty fun if you're a Maple Leaf fan.
Well, remember a few weeks ago, I think we discussed that top 50 list, and we were, like, debating whether he was going to be in the top 30 by the end of the year. And now that just seems kind of crazy.
Well, if he continues at this pace and he ends up with 40 goals and 70 points, he's clearly a lock for that next year. An absolute lock for the top 50.
Maybe top 20.
And he might very well be in the top 20 or the top 10. Look at McDavid. Now, McDavid was a phenom a step above of Matthews, and that's why I would still have McDavid ahead of Matthews in terms of this current list we're talking about. But he went from a rookie to the second best player in the world, according to the TSN top 50. Mm-hmm. I mean, Matthews might be in the top 10. He might be on TSN's top 10 list.
Next year?
Going into next season.
No question. He'll be in mine.
If he continues at this pace, he'll be in mine.
Name 10 better players in the league. You can't. You literally can't.
Will Marner be in the top 50?
Yep.
I don't know about that.
I think he might be. If he ends up with 65 points, Jonas.
Yeah.
65 points and, you know, 25 goals. Yeah, I think he might be.
It's insane that they could have two rookies break their franchise mark in 1 year.
It's so long overdue that it almost should happen this way.
Yeah.
You know, and we were talking about Odell Beckham Jr. and some people deciding or some people opining that maybe they should trade him, where I think that would be a ludicrous idea. He's only been in the league for 3 years. His numbers are absolutely through the roof. If he continues on this pace, he's up in like Jerry Rice categories. You got to let this kid grow. But when you're that good that early in that kind of a market, this is what can happen. You can get an ego. You can love the social media game that comes with it. You can love the celebrity that comes with it. And there aren't any other rookies or anyone else in that organization with the Giants that come close to where Odell Beckham Jr. is at. So no one can shield him from it. You can't point to another story. You can't talk about another player. That's the thing about the Maple Leafs right now is, let's say Marner grew an ego and started really thinking he's someone bigger than maybe he should be, or gets bigger, too big for, you know, this market or whatever. Matthews is there for you to go to him and say, hey, you're not him, or act like him, right? He's the same age as you. He's got the same experience as you. Like, this is the beauty of bringing in these rookies at the same time.
I honestly don't think, I think it goes way beyond that, Brian, at the top. Shanny and Lou, they would never even, as soon as it started to creep up into an area of concern, that's when it stops, because they're not dealing with that, like, whatsoever.
I think you're right. I think they would stop that, and Dilfer was
they've done it in the past, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they would quickly get to the kids and say, that's not happening.
Right.
We're going to take away your toys, and we're not going to give you the opportunity to exploit your own celebrity.
I think that's especially true with Nylander. Just based on the personality and, I don't know.
I think he likes being a Leaf. I think he likes being a pro.
He's got that swagger and that hair. And.
But I don't think he's gone over the top.
I thought one coach described it to me as, we've got some guys in our team that really have the cool guy factor.
He's got the cool guy factor.
And it's like, they don't want to. They love the glitz and glamour, and they love everything about it, but sometimes they forget about the work, and they get lost, and now my job is to make sure the cool guy factor disappears.
Like Babcock has done, right?
Yeah. Yeah, try the fourth line. See what the cool guy factor's like on the fourth line. It ain't that cool.
No kidding.
That's a good nickname, actually, for Nylander, the cool guy.
Billy Nye, the cool guy?
Hey, listen. It would be a louder conversation if he had 12 points right now. He's putting forth the best rookie season we've had in the city in a long, long
time.
They're
all having the best rookie season.
Exactly. If it weren't for Marner and Matthews, who are just having a slightly better year than Nylander, let alone Zaitsev.
Or
right?
Hyman,
Connor Brown.
Or Brown.
Hyman, exactly. I mean, so they're all there to kind of insulate each other, and it's really a perfect situation for the Leafs. It's incredible it's happened the way it has, where everything's fallen in place. For a team that just fumbled over itself forever, never got lucky, always traded the picks. But think about it. How many things have come in line
and
fallen in line for them?
Well, like you and I talked about, getting the number one pick in the right year matters. Like,
huge.
You could get it in the Yakupov year or Patrick Steffen.
I watched him play for St. Louis the other night. He is worse than ever.
Yakupov?
Oh.
I know. I saw someone tweet out a week or two ago, he needs a new surrounding.
Sport.
Yeah, he needs a new sport. But he, already,
he's honestly forgot to, how to play hockey.
Yeah. He's as big of a bust as you can find.
I felt bad for the kid. I'm like, you have totally forgotten what you're good at, how to do this.
That's all that happened.
Regardless if they should have taken Edmonton should have taken him at one. He is so far away from being a top-end player in the league. It's scary.
He's a healthy scratch on his second team. Like, he's reaching Anthony Bennett territory. Like, he will be in the KHL in a couple of years.
No question. When this deal runs out.
Yeah, it really feels like that is happening. All right, Barry Trotz will join us from the Washington Capitals. We've got trivia coming up just after 6 p.m. between the O-Dog and Jonas.
Puck versus Mack Schmuck.
At 6:20. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. We'll be on TSN 2 in the final hour. Trivia between Jonas and the O-Dog at 6. Bobby Mack in studio around 6:20. Ovechkin, didn't take him too long to hit 1,000 points last night.
Was it 25 seconds or something?
I think it was 35 seconds in. And it was a beautiful goal, too. Toe drag and then shelf. And that's 1,000 points for him. He scored a second goal later in the game, power play goal.
Oh, my God. It might have been the hardest shot I've ever seen.
Why can coaches and teams not stop that, though?
It's the stupidest thing. Like, whenever I break down, I'm like, there's a guy standing over there you might want to pay attention to. But
Well, we got Barry Trotz on the line, and he was in Nashville for a long time when Ovechkin was in the league.
Let's ask him how he would defend Ovi on the PK.
All right, here he is, the head coach of the Capitals. Take us through the game tape. Why can people not stop Ovechkin in that one-timer?
I think because a couple factors. He gets it off so quickly, and he never gets it blocked. He seldom gets it blocked. He's got that great instinct to get pucks around people. You can go stand next to him, and then we'll hit you with an Oshie or Backstrom or Carlson type look. So I think having the other four guys who make things happen for him, we move it around, we break them down, and then we get it to Ovi, and he's sort of like the big time finisher.
Backstrom doesn't seem to get enough credit too there, Barry. It seems like he kind of gets everybody looking at him, and they try, like they act like they're going to do the down low play, and they go down to the corner and back up to him, and then it's just on his stick, off his stick, and Ovi's got a one-timer.
Yeah, no, it's teams have gone and stood right next to Ovi, and we've opened up guys like Oshie and Williams and Backstrom and Carlson. I think you got to respect all elements, but when you have a guy that shoots it like Ovi, and he likes to shoot it, and he gets it through, and it comes off his stick the way it does. It's pretty special. It does give you an element that very few teams have ever had.
A lot always being made of the rivalry between the Caps and the Pens, and specifically Ovechkin and Crosby. Did you get the impression like it meant more to Alex because of the team he did it against last night?
Well, I think Alex has a flair for the dramatic. We were in Montreal a few nights before, and he had the opportunity to tie the Rockets for goals in Montreal. And that in itself is pretty special, and Alex gets it done. He has a chance to get 1,000 points in front of his family and a rivalry with Sid and the Penguins. And he does it in 23 seconds. And I haven't been here that long, but he has that flair for the dramatic, and he has the excellent timing for those big moments to get things done. So those are real sort of fun moments to be a part of. Obviously in the middle of the season, you're trying to get as many points as you can and all that. But I think when all the players that are involved in playing with Ovi, they recognize that you're playing with a Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation. And it's a pretty good story to tell your kids.
Well, so Barry, he's at 546 career goals now. Seven guys have hit 700. Do you think he's got a real shot at that?
Yeah, I do. You can
you know, in the league now, it's hard to get 50 goals, and somehow, some way, Ovi finds a way to get 50 goals, and he's doing it different ways. Obviously, everybody will, you know, look at his goals from that spot on the power play, and our power play hasn't been that good this year. I think it's hovering around the middle of the league, and it hasn't really heated up yet. He usually gets 20 to 25 on that, and it hasn't really heated up, and he's doing it in different ways. He's doing it with his 5-on-5 play. He's got a lot of goals right from the blue paint, tips, rebounds, stuff that you don't really think about goal scoring with Ovi. He's done it in different ways. So I think he's, as the game keeps changing and he's getting a little bit older and finding ways to score, people are trying to defend him differently. He's finding ways to adjust his game so that he can still be a dominant goal scorer in this league.
With Barry Trotz, head coach of the Washington Capitals, big win last night over the Pens, and Alex Ovechkin racking up his 1,000th point. Actually had 2 points last night, so he hit 1,001. And he mentioned how, you know, he loves the big stage, seems to take advantage of the biggest moments. He's a real showman. He's an absolute blast to watch play. And we focus so much on that entertainment value and his scoring ability. But as a result, you know, I think this debate's been surrounding him for the past 10 years. You know, maybe we don't give him enough credit for his playmaking ability or his leadership role in Washington or other abilities that he brings to your team. Like you said, you haven't been there long, but about a year and a half. Now that you're in the circle, maybe how has your impression of him changed? And in other parts of his game, what have you noticed that you've become accustomed to and a fan of?
Well, I think Alex, is a player who wants to do well. Obviously, I think he sort of has a... He knows he has a responsibility to carry this franchise and be a big, important factor, and he has. I was saying on TV last night with Pierre is that, Sidney Crosby and Alex sort of saved our game when we had the first lockout, and they came in and they became, the generational faces, and they've lifted two franchises from sort of the rubble, if you will, to be dominant franchises. They've had a great rivalry, and they've been great for the game. They've been they're iconic players. They're going to be going to the Hall of Fame, and they've done different things. In Washington, we have not won a Stanley Cup, and I know Alex gets a lot of criticism for that, but you got to be surrounded with the right talent, and you've got to be in the right moment. It's hard to win that cup, and some of the international play, I don't think it's fair because Canada seems to win most of the international stuff, and Russia really hasn't done much internationally. So it's really, in the NHL, but you look at what he's done in the playoffs, he doesn't wilt in the playoffs. His point production probably increases in the playoffs higher than it does in the regular season. So he's done a lot of things on his part. His leadership is he's grown from a young, enthusiastic player who's was different than every Russian player that we've seen previously. He's learning to lead. He's learning to leadership's about taking care of everybody first before yourself, and that's something different for Alex. I think from his younger years to now, he's a really good leader. He does take care about he cares about everybody around him, and tries to do the right things all the time, and hopefully have had a little bit of influence there. But I think he's grown from a young, exciting player to a veteran, dominating player who you saw last night how he can take a game and just sort of take it over in an instant.
What's it mean for you, Barry, passing a guy like Pat Quinn on the all-times win list? It must be quite an accomplishment. I know Pat was a coach of mine. He was a special guy, a great coach. What does that mean to you?
It's awkward. It's probably the best way to say it. When I got into this business and started coaching, and I looked up to the Pat Quinns and the Roger Nilssons, and you hear about Toll Blake, and you hear about all these, these iconic players that are coaches when you're growing up, and you wanted to be a player, and I ended up being a coach, and all of a sudden, I'm just going to work every day and trying to help our team win hockey games and try to do the right thing and for our organization and for our franchise, The years have passed real quickly. I've worked for great organizations and great people in Nashville and here in Washington. And Washington is where I started. So it comes sort of full circle. And then someone, you know, taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, congratulations, you're tied, you know, Pat Quinn. And I'm like, I feel awkward. I really do, because I looked up to the Pat Quinns and the John Mucklers and people like that who, when I was a young guy in this business, they were, you know, you'd ask them for some, you know, some advice, and they'd spend the time with you, the Claire Drakes of the world, those type of people. And all of a sudden you're in the wins list, you're past them. So it feels a little bit surreal and a little bit awkward probably, but I've been blessed to work for some great organizations, some great people, and had many great players who they're the ones who win the games, and us coaches had a small piece in that.
So do you feel more awkward or do you feel old, Barry?
A little bit of both. It's probably a 50-50 right now.
Right. Have you had any young coaches come up to you now and ask for tips, like basically survival tips? How do I stay in the league?
I do. I really, you get to be a veteran coach when you're getting a lot of the young guys coming. And, I've met a lot of great coaches through the Coaches Association. The one thing that I've learned, and I've learned this from everybody from Ken Hitchcock and Mike Babcock and George Kingston and Claire Drake, is that young coaches, when I was a young coach, you thought you had all the secrets, you didn't want to share anything. And when I've gotten older, I want to share everything with all the young guys, because they're the ones that are going to make the game better. They're going to improve on what was, it's just like it's evolution. The best players in the world that we're going to see, some of them haven't even been born yet. It's just evolution. So in our time on this planet, if we can help out young guys to reach their goals and make our game better, I think we share. And I've learned that from the best, and guys like Ken and Babs and that group of guys, Joel Quenneville, very, very open to sharing ideas and talking hockey with those guys and young coaches, because they're the bright young minds in the game.
Well, congratulations on a great accomplishment last night. Your team's absolutely on fire as it currently stands, and I think there's a lot of people scared about what you guys are going to have in store down the stretch and into the playoffs. So enjoy it and continued success, and thanks for doing this today.
Anytime, guys.
There's Barry Trotz of the Washington Capitals, and they have now won 7 in a row. And they dominated Pittsburgh last night. And they're one of those teams, like the Patriots, like the Spurs, that you just expect to cruise through a regular season, probably win their division, end up with home ice in the first round, and it's all about the playoffs. What are you going to do come playoff time?
Yeah, and it's not even about seeding. I mean, what did they get, Pittsburgh in the second round last year? They must have been thinking, what the hell do we do to deserve this?
Right.
Like, don't ask for anything. Don't hope for anything. You just got to get there and win.
Right.
Because who the hell knows what's going to happen?
But everyone knows they're getting there. Like, before game one, it was a lock. They're there. And I think Pittsburgh was probably in the same boat this year.
You put Ovechkin and Holtby on this, like, they're getting in.
They're in. And their defense is good, and Backstrom's good, and Kuznetsov is good, and they're just loaded. Like, they are a loaded team.
When you talk about the team here, Babcock said, like, the one thing that you want to become is that, like, where you can go in the summer and you're just like, we're making the playoffs easy,
right?
Like, it's not even a question.
Chicago would be a team like that. Like, you look at Chicago,
LA,
you look
usually,
at, they've fallen off though the past year. Couple of years. Like, I think if you asked me before the year, give me that one team who's an absolute lock to make the playoffs, I think I would have said Washington. Doesn't mean I think they'll win the cup or be favored to win the cup, but do I think they'll get to 95 points and get in?
Yeah. I would have agreed with you.
I would
like
have said,
an automatic slam dunk playoffs, Washington Capitals.
They're a lock. Absolute lock. Because even Pittsburgh's had their ups and downs during the regular season the past couple of years. And maybe you could have sold me on a cup hangover, and what if the Fleury-Murray stuff doesn't necessarily work out? You know, Chicago, they tailed off a bit last year, lost in the first round. Washington, they're just a juggernaut during the regular season. But it's on them to get over that hurdle in the playoffs, because they have not been able to do it. And Trotz clearly knows that. Ovechkin knows it. Every Capital fan would be well aware of it. But that's still 2-3 months down the road. Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:20. Trivia between the O-Dog and Jonas Siegel.
Have we decided on a name or no?
Someone actually sent a tweet in here. Eric tweeting in saying, how about this? Are you smarter than a Harvard invitee? Because you did get invited to Harvard, right?
Yeah, you didn't.
Can I ask you a preview question for trivia?
What?
Who is the active leader in the NHL in career goals?
The active leader in career goals.
Yep.
I think I got the answer.
Jerome McGinley.
Good guess, but incorrect. Brian?
Is he playing Florida?
He does.
Jágr.
There you go. So you're 0 for 1.
I would dust you two so badly. I'm actually mad.
Dude, you're
just
the host. You're dusty.
I know. I'm going to host.
You're not.
I'm going to host. But I would just
leave it. Just go to break.
Destroy the two of you.
Not true.
I think we're going to stick with puck versus schmuck.
How about the winner faces you?
All right, we can do that at some point. I don't know. Like Steph, it's taken Steph almost an hour and 45 minutes.
Two
She's
hours.
Still working.
2 hours.
On the question.
I'm working on it.
Listen, you can hear her. She's like, I'm putting it together. It's taken her an hour and 45 minutes to put together the
trivia. It took her 45 minutes to figure that Valanciunas wasn't coming in here.
Right.
Thanks. Thanks for that one, by the way. The ultimate drag bunt.
Oh, the biggest.
He's coming in right now.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
You're Ray Finkel's mom. You think Ray is going to return any second now. But no, it doesn't happen. And Valanciunas, no dice. Thanks for coming out.
525. 5:35. Now he's not coming.
No, it's not going to happen. All right, so we'll see what Steph has in store with the trivia. I will be hosting. I'll be playing the role of Trebek, and that should be fun just after 6. Bobby Mack in studio at 6:20. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. On Friday, call in with the names of all 5 players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on the Rangers January 19th down at the ACC. Theme this week is Hall of Famers who have played for both the Rangers and the Maple Leafs. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Hall of Famer Alan Stanley. Alan Stanley.
That's an old school name.
Alan Stanley, the man with 2 first names. I like it. Just a rock on the back end. He was in my top 25 Leafs of all time.
Oh, boy.
I had Alan Stanley in there. The Hall of Famer, Jonas.
The tough thing is, like, you've never
seen
him.
How do you put a guy in there right? You've never seen play?
That's my problem with this
That's
stuff.
Just a farce.
You had Keon as number one. You've never watched him.
Yeah, I know that, but if you asked me to put
your
together,
number one should have been Matt Sundin.
Yes.
No, because it's not the greatest Leafs of my lifetime.
No, don't act like the quiz master because you're starting to talk like
No, him. It's not like that. Okay, if I asked you to put together the top 100 Detroit Red Wings of all time, who would you have at number one?
Steve Yzerman.
No, you wouldn't.
I've never seen Gordy Howe play hockey.
Okay, so Gordy's not even on your list. Wouldn't have Gordy on your list because you never saw him play. Exactly. Exactly.
But like you said, you have a tendency to overrate the guys from the past.
No, I overrate.
Because you didn't see them.
No, I look at their stats a lot more.
But and when you win, stats don't.
If you win 4 cups and you're top 10 in this and that and the other, and you're
like
up for Norris's
the teams
and you're
in some of these things.
Well, that's the league's problem. Again, Gordie Howe played in the league with 6 teams.
I know, and that's.
So what? He's not allowed to be considered a great player?
It's a hard thing to do.
Come on.
I mean,
Jones.
Like, I'm going to ask. Let me ask you. Like, where does Ovechkin rank among the greatest goal scorers ever?
Oh, he'd be top 5 for me, I think.
Okay, so Gretzky, Howe, Jágr, Hall, Dion.
Yeah, but that's at the end of their careers. Like in 10 years, I think Ovi will be right there. I think Ovi will be there in 2 or 3, right? I think Bossy should be considered, he's a natural goal scorer. Didn't play as many games as a lot of those guys, but I think Ovi would be top 5 for me, all-time great goal
Gotta
scorers.
Be.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
What like about Brett one? Hall would be up there.
What about one?
Number one? Maybe at the end of the career.
Well,
like
Gretzky's got 894. He's never catching that.
No.
894 is insane.
Anyway. All right, trivia in about 10 minutes. Stop quizzing me, Jonas. It's going to go the opposite way.
You're getting the winner, so.
Okay.
See you
and,
then.
And Bobby Mack in studio as well. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.